This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we bring our series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't to a close. Now, in a little while, we're going to tell you how to get the complete audio collection of Rick's teaching series called Daring Faith. It's available on CD, MP3 download, or audio thumb drive. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith That Can Heal Illnesses.
Number one, when should I pray for healing? Well, in that passage I just read, James mentions four specific times to pray for healing. And we find these four circumstances in the four different words and phrases he uses. First, he says, are you hurting? Remember last week I told you that Greek word is kakapatheo. Kakapatheo means you're having trouble. You're having a tough time. You're suffering, hurting. You're hurting. And then he says, are you sick? That's asthenēo, which means I feel weak, or I feel sick, or I feel ill. It could be weakness or illness. Then he says, the sick person, that's the Greek word kama, which means I'm weary, I'm worn out, I feel like giving up, I'm tired, I'm drained. That's the word kamno. And then he says, and Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And so he prayed for rain, and it sent a gully washer. And no rain for 3.5 years. He's talking about a drought, a dry spell. Some of you right now are going through a dry spell in your life because of this pandemic. Everything's been shut down in your life. You're going through a spiritual dry spell or a physical dry spell or an emotional dry spell. Things have dried up in your life. So based on those four things he just said in that passage, here's the answer to the first question. Okay, write this down. When should I pray for healing? Four things. Anytime I'm hurting, sick, tired, or empty. That's it. Anytime I'm hurting, I should pray for healing. Anytime I'm sick, I should pray for healing. Anytime I'm tired, I should pray for healing. And anytime I feel empty, I should pray for healing. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Rick, those four words describe the totality of my life right now. I'm sick and tired and empty and hurting. Well, then this is the time to pray for healing in your life and have other people pray for healing in your life. Next question, question number two. Why aren't people healed every time? Well, the answer is pretty simple. We simply don't know God's will. God's not going to give you something against his will because God always wants what's best for you. You don't always know what's best for you. I could pray for things that really wouldn't be good for me. But I don't know God's will. And God uses illnesses in many ways. So when we pray for healing, we're asking God for healing because all we know is, all we can see is our side. And God says, just pray what you ask for. Pray what you desire. Pray the desires of your heart. But then we trust God that if it's not his will, because he knows something else, he's not going to answer with a yes on that. God answers every prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. Sometimes you got to be kidding. We don't have time to list all the ways that God uses illness and sickness in our lives. But let me just mention three. Why does God sometimes allow sickness in my life? Three reasons. Number one, to get my attention and to redirect me. To get my attention and redirect me. Sometimes God has to lay you flat on your back in order to get you to look up to God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Psalm 119, verse 71 says this, it was good for me to be afflicted. That's sick. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Sometimes God uses illness to just get my attention and head me in a different direction. Another good verse is Proverbs 20, verse 30. Look at this verse. Proverbs 20, verse 30, in today's English version. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody want to give a testimony on that one? You could all give a story in your small group on how sometimes it takes this painful experience to make us change our ways. Now, this first reason is what the Bible calls a sickness for discipline, or a sickness for training. The old English word is a sickness unto chastisement. But this is, sometimes God allows a sickness to redirect us, get our attention, redirect us. Second reason, sometimes God allows a sickness to be a testimony for others. Did you know that? He knows he can trust you with an illness, and he knows that you'll be a good example to other people, particularly unbelievers. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has helped spread the good news. Where is Paul? He's sick and in prison in Rome when he writes that. He's sick and in prison, and he's in a lonely, damp, dank, dark, cold prison dungeon. And he says, I want you to know that what's happened has helped spread the good news. I could spend a whole message on this, but I'll just say it like this. After walking with God for six decades, I've been a Christian now 60 years, I have come to the conclusion that maybe the greatest witness you will ever have in front of unbelievers and other people who don't know Jesus yet is your example of the way you handle pain. I have found that to be true in my own life, that in the moments of pain in my life, God was using that as a witness to my neighbors and to the world. Christians aren't exempt from problems. We have the same ones everybody else does. We just have our relationship to Christ to strengthen us and comfort us and encourage us and give us hope and wisdom. And sometimes God lets you be ill because he can trust you to be an example of patience and godliness to others. And the Bible calls this kind of sickness a sickness to the glory of God. A sickness unto the glory of God. Jesus talks about it when Jesus went to heal Lazarus, who had died. That was a deadly illness. Jesus announced, this sickness, this is John 11, 4, this sickness will not end in death. It is an illness for the glory of God, to bring glory to the Son of God. Did you know that there have been illnesses in your life that God wanted to use to bring glory to himself? Now, if you're griping and complaining and being bitter the whole time, there's no glory going to God on that. But when you respond to pressure and pain in a positive way, it brings glory to God. So there's a sickness for discipline and training. There's a sickness for bringing glory to God. But sometimes God just allows a sickness, number three, to take us into eternity, to take us in. This is called, the Bible calls this a sickness unto death. And he said about Lazarus, that's not a sickness unto death. It's the second kind. A sickness unto death, if you could be healed by every illness just by having enough faith, then if you had enough faith, you'd never die. And you'd end up living on this earth forever because anybody had a lot of faith would just never die. And that certainly isn't God's will. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, God has already appointed a time that each of us will die. Did you know that? It's one appointment you're not going to be late for. God has already appointed a time that each of us will die, and then our lives will be judged by God. So one of the reasons God allows illness is sometimes he wants to take you home. Okay? He wants to take you to heaven. Your time on earth is done. And if you could be healed every time by everything, then you'd never die. So what I'm saying is we pray for healing, trusting for God's will to be done. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, and he says, I know it's possible, take this cup from me. Don't let me go through this pain. Nevertheless, thy will be done, not mine. And that's what we do when we pray. God, it's my desire that you heal me. It's my desire that you heal my son, my wife, my brother, my sister, my friend. Nevertheless, thy will be done. 1 John 5:14 says this, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, underline that, anything according to his will, he will hear us. All right? So We've looked at when we can pray for healing, four different times. We've looked at what happens, why some people don't get healed, why every prayer isn't answered with a yes. Number three, who? Who can pray for healing? Do you have to be the Pope or pastor or missionary or somebody super holy? Who can pray for healing? Write this down. Any child of God can pray for healing. Any child of God can pray for healing. You can come to your Heavenly Father and say, Daddy, I'm sick. I need your healing. This is what James 5, verses 16 and 17 says. Let me read it again to you. The earnest prayer of a believing person is powerful and effective. Now, let me stop there. The earnest prayer of a believing person doesn't say you have to be a super saint. You just have to be a believing person, and you have to be earnest. The earnest prayer of a believing person is powerful and effective. For example, he says, Elijah was a human being just like us. Yet when he prayed earnestly, and you know the rest of the story, all those miracles happened. Elijah's life was filled with one miracle after another. But the most comforting thing about that verse is this. Elijah was just like us. He's just like you. He's just like me. He wasn't some super saint. God used him because he dared to pray for miracles. He dared to pray for healing. Okay? He didn't have to be somebody special. He said he was just like us. That means he had the same temptations. He had the same weaknesses. He had the same sins, same faults. If God only heard the prayers of perfect people, nobody's prayers would ever be heard. God hears the prayers of sinners, of failures, of all of us who are imperfect. You know, earlier in this text, James says, you can call the elders of your church to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And of course, we do that at Saddleback Church. We do it all the time. And we've talked about this many times. But in our church, we've only got about a dozen elders, and we got about 30,000 members. So we can't keep up with everybody. Now, what's he talking about there? He says, while you pray, anoint with oil. Well, we've talked about this before. Oil is simply a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. Just like water in baptism is a symbol of your death and burial and resurrection in Christ. Just like water in baptism, oil in praying for healing, it's just a symbol of your faith and trust. There is no healing power in any kind of oil. So don't go writing off for some kind of special oil. You know, you could use Crisco or whatever. It's just oil, just like the water in a baptistry is just normal water. But it's a symbol of your faith. That's what matters, a symbol of your trust. Now, you don't have to be an elder to pray for other people. There are many, many, many other scriptures in the New Testament talk about praying for each other, praying for healing for each other. And we even anoint each other in the name of the Lord. As your pastor, I authorize all of you in your small groups to pray for each other, to pray for healing for each other, and to anoint each other in the name of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said this in John 14, verses 12 to 14. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. What was he doing? He was just, the verse right before that, he's talking about the miracles that he'd done, all the miracles he'd done. And he says, then he turns to his disciples after talking about the miracles, and he says, I tell you the truth, anybody who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will even do greater miracles than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Here's prayer. I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Wow. Now, I don't see many of us doing greater works than Jesus Christ. How in the world are we going to do greater works than Jesus? Well, I'll tell you how. Because when Jesus was here in his physical body, he could only be in one place at one time. So he could only heal one person here and then one person there. He couldn't be in China and in Europe and in Africa at the same time. But now the body of Christ is spread all around the world. We are the body of Christ. And 2.3 billion people can pray for healing for people at the same time in every continent and every country and every city and every state and every province. So that's how we do the greater works together. Together. We're not limited to one body. The body of Christ is now spread out all around the world. Finally, let's look at real simply, how do I pray for healing? How do I pray for healing for myself? And for that matter, how do I pray for healing for others? Did you know that God wants to make you to be a healing agent? Yeah, you, normal you. You don't have to be an elder. God wants to use you to pray for healing in people's lives. It's not that complicated. Just three things James teaches us. Number one, make sure my heart is clean from sin. Okay, that's the starting point. I can't be holding on to unconfessed sin and then go out and pray for either myself or for somebody else at the same time. That's why in verse 16, he says this, confess your faults to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Said it last week, I've said it thousands of times, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Confess your faults to each other. Clean out your life. Take out the garbage. Confess your sins. Get them out. Get rid of them. Now, you're never going to be perfect. You've heard me say before, you will never be sinless, but it is possible to sin less. You're never going to be sinless, but you can sin less, and you can confess and be cleaned out inside, revealing your feeling. Confess your faults to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. That's step one. Step two, be specific when I ask. Be specific when I ask. Too many people are afraid to put God in a box, and so they won't even ask specifically for healing. They'll say, Lord, be with this sick person and show them your love and help them to know you're with them. And that's all fine and good. But over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to ask. Ask, seek, knock. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And you need to be specific. James says in verse chapter 4, verse 2, you don't have because you don't ask. And I have been with many, many people who say, pray for me, I'm sick. And I say, Lord, we just ask you, be with them and bless them. What's a blessing? How would you, if a blessing hit you in the face, how would you know that it hit you? I mean, sometimes a blessing is an illness. If you don't know that, is that what you're really praying? So be specific. You don't have because you don't. And I often say like this, God, you've told us many times in your word to ask, and you've told us to pray for healing. So I'm just obeying you. I'm asking for you to heal this person. Just heal them, okay? It's up to you. I can't control it. I don't have any power in me. But you've told us to ask. I'm asking you to heal them. I'm doing what you say to do. Keep your promise. Keep your word. Heal them, okay? Be specific when you ask. And number three, it's real simple. Ask in faith. Ask in faith. That's the third thing James says to do. James chapter 1, verse 6. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. For the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if you don't think God's going to heal, if you don't believe, don't even ask, because you're just wasting your breath. But he says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Why? Because God has his promises in his word. I'm trusting God for his will to be done, but I'm going to do what God says to do. And I said, God, you've told us to pray. You've told us to ask. You've told us to pray for healing. I'm praying for healing. I'm asking. Now keep your word. And then you just leave it up to God. I want to close right now by praying for you. But in order for this to be effective, I would like for you to think of an area that you need healing in your life, okay? And so you can be specific about it. Now, I don't have to know it. God knows it, and you know it. It doesn't matter to me. I don't have to know it to pray for you. But think about something, an area. Do you need a relationship that needs to be healed? Do you have a physical ailment that needs to be healed? Do you have a mental illness that needs to be healed? Well, we're going to ask. We're going to pray right now. We're going to trust God in his word. We're going to leave the results to him, but we're going to do what God says to do. And if he says to do it, then we have to obey him and do it. So I want you to think of something in your life where you need healing, financial healing, or maybe from depression, or from worry, from anxiety, or maybe you need a job, maybe you're out of work. Whatever it is, I want you to think about that. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds here to think about it, and then I'm going to close in prayer. All right, let's bow our heads. So just think of what you want to ask God to be healed of. And it won't hurt for you to share it with your small group and ask them to heal, pray for your healing too. That's powerful. But I'm going to pray for you, and you pray for you, and then you can get other people to do that too. Lord, I don't know all of the hundreds, even thousands of issues that are going to be brought before you right now. You're not too busy. Your circuits don't get overloaded. You can handle millions, billions of requests at the same time. And so as each of us come to you in our point of need, where we need maybe a healing from bitterness. There are people here, Lord, who need healing in their bodies, in their organs, in their muscles, in their backs, in their brains, in their bones, in their digestive system. There are people who need physical healing right now. We're just doing what you say. You've told us to ask. You've told us to believe. You've told us to trust. So we're asking you to keep your word right now. And we come to you not in doubt, but in confidence that if we ask anything according to your will, it will be done. We say like Jesus, Lord, this is what we want. Nevertheless, thy will be done, not ours. But that's not a lack of faith. Our faith is in you. We want your will in our lives. And if that happens to be this healing, so be it. May we not stand in the way of the gift you want to give. Lord, there are people here who've never opened their lives to Jesus Christ. They've never received healing for all of their sins, for all of the guilt, the bad things in their lives. May they right now receive your salvation. If you've never asked him to do that, say, Jesus Christ, save me. Forgive all my sins. Accept me into your family. Make me a new person. I want to be your child. I want to be in your family. I want to learn to know you. Just say that. Say, Jesus, I want to believe in you today, and I want to trust you, and I'm asking you to save me. Father, whatever the needs are as the pastor, a shepherd of this flock, I'm asking you to hear these prayers. And I pray that whether the glory comes through us seeing a miracle or whether the glory comes through us being a witness of the right attitude, that either way you will get glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to live a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to get your very own copy of the Daring Faith Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
What happens when you have faith? How do you get ready for a miracle in your life? How do you prepare yourself for God doing something you've never thought possible? What do you do while you're waiting on God? These are some of the questions that I answer in the Daring Faith Audio Series. Now, this series is a series that'll teach you how to develop a deeper faith. And that's so important because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So I want you to get this Daring Faith audio series to show you how God wants to grow your faith. Now, this Daring Faith Complete audio series comes with 10 CDs. Did you hear that? 10 full CDs boxed in a set or as an MP3 download. In Ephesians 3:12, the Bible says, because of our faith in him, we dare to have boldness, courage, and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to be able to come to God in prayer that way. Now, I believe that God will use this Daring Faith Complete audio series to lead you to a deeper faith where you trust him in all things. So don't wait. Get it now.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a 10-CD box set of the Daring Faith Complete audio series as our way of saying thanks. And you can choose either audio CDs or high-quality downloadable MP3s. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.